All right. Chapter 2. All right, all right. Okay, we're in chapter 2, and we talked about, we took a look at some of the distinctive features of this finishing generation of breakthrough believers. Number one, we said that they have stature to represent God. Secondly, they have power to execute His word. Thirdly, they are prepared for the future. Fourthly, they are free from the past. Number five, they are a people movement for kingdom advancement. All right, so we are on number three. They are prepared for the future. And we want to start off right there. All right. Now, now, God is the only one that knows what our future holds. Can y'all agree with that?
Yes.
So He'll be the one who's going to fashion this generation or this future company with the right ingredients to be the prevailing force in the future. Now, we looked at some things that we talked about, how, you know, God fashions us. We can't, it's not going to happen on our own accord. We're not going to be able to accomplish it by ourselves. We're going to have to yield to the dealings of God, God dealing with our lives, right? All right. So now, this generation will be living stones. They will be precious stones, tested, tried, and tried by fire. Now, you know, we looked at how God trials by fire. We test that we have to go through, trials and certain things that God allow us to go through because He's fashioning us. And many times we can't understand what God is doing. So many times we kind of run away from what God is really trying to do in our lives. We look for an easy way out.
Yes,
we look for the road of least resistance.
Yes,
when God, I'm telling you something, man. When God is really this new generation that God is fashioning, this finishing generation. This I'm talking about people who not just going to start, but they're going to finish strong. See, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So God is raising up a people who are going to finish. And as it relates to the apostolic, we have to be trained. We have to be developed in order to, you know, everything the apostle is talking about, how, you know, we are to operate from faith to the our anointing, to the glory and that sort of thing and stuff. That's a training that's got to take place. You with me? And so within that, we have to be willing to allow God to really fashion us to become all that He wants us to be.
Right.
Y'all still with me here?
Yeah.
All right. So there'll be something regal about this generation as they are a kingdom priest and a royal priesthood. So we looked at Malachi. Remember, we looked at Malachi when God said that He was going to refine the priesthood. And I told you, you know, because of back then, they didn't have New Testament terminology. So they wouldn't talk. He wasn't talking about Christians. We're talking about the priesthood. He's talking about Christians here. He's talking about us. You understand what I'm saying? So He's preparing us for something greater than what you would never be able to experience all that God is about to do in your life if you don't allow Him to fashion you. Hallelujah. And see, that's why it is so important for us to understand government, understand how God has created the system so that we can develop and grow. And we won't just be a bunch of vagabonds, but be a bunch of. See, this is what the church has been for years. The church has been mostly, you know, everybody trying to be a superstar. Everybody want to Everybody want their time in the sun. You know what I'm saying? They come in, you know, they got these microwave gifts. And many times, listen to me, folk are really gifted, really talented, but don't have no character. And see, the thing about it is, your gifts and character, your gifts and your talents will take your place. Your character can't keep you. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's some real gifted people, some real talented people. But the thing about it is, because they won't sit under nobody. I was talking to a pastor, and I was telling him that he really needed covering. And, you know, he's real gifted and that sort of thing. And I told him, I said, man, you really need a covering. And so he told me he had somebody who was a covering, but there really wasn't a covering because, you know, when you got a real covering, whenever that person has something going on, then you find your way there. You with me? And so I just talked to him one day. I said, man, look, you really not submitted the way you should be. And, you know, he got a little upset. I say, because you're gifted. I say, because, you know, you believe that you're the greatest preacher ever lived. And so you're not going to submit to nobody. And so all he could have all of that and ministry not going nowhere. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you can. Apostle was talking tonight about, you know, a person operating in faith. But then, you know, a lot of times people try to fake the anointing with their gift. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can fake the anointing with your gift, you know, because you can try to get people all emotional and frenzied and that kind of thing and stuff. Just because a person get emotional don't mean that no anointing was present. Hallelujah. So now watch this. They are also kept for the final leg of the race. Now, well, I like to watch track and field, and I like to watch, you know, but Usain Bolt. Man, look, you put that rascal at the end, at that last leg, and them other boys running, and if he's a little bit behind, you ain't got to worry about it. That last, he gonna bring it home. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the kind of mentality that we have to have. See, God, a lot of times we think that we should have been the first leg, but God always say the best for last. yeah, that's some people that they gone past. You look like they're doing things and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But you just got to chill out and know that God is saving the best for last. That God is going to do something great and mighty through you. Hallelujah. So others may be released today and now, but God is taking his time to prepare them well. He's taking time to prepare you well. As they would be the best kept for last. Praise God. Now, we have not seen a generation like this before. And I was thinking about, you know, as it relates to sports. I don't know. I forgot the percentage, but the percentage is real small. You know, people who play sports and people who really turn professional. You really have to be a standout to really, you know, to really go further. And this is what God is shaping. God's shaping some standouts. Y'all bag up off me up in here. I said, yeah, God is fashioning some standouts, some folk who know how to take a licking and keep on ticking. Folk who know how to receive rebuke and correction, receive it and then become better. Hallelujah. Not always got their feeling on the shoulder, wondering, you know, what somebody going to say to them or how I'm going to respond to them. You with me? Hallelujah. I remember I had talked to Apostle. I told him, I said, Apostle, we're going to have a tent revival. And he said, okay. And so I told him the date and everything that's going to be. And so it was right before camp meeting. So usually the people, my members usually come and help, you know, help to prepare for camp meeting. So this particular year, you know, because, you know, I had talked to him, but when he was answering, he wasn't thinking about the dates and the times and all that. So we got the camp meeting, and Dr. Walker and I was together, and Apostle walked up and said, "Philip, I'm going to rebuke you right in front of Ron." I said, "I'm going to receive it right in front of him." Praise the Lord. So he said, "Now, you know you weren't supposed to have no meeting coming up to the, what you call it?" Now, I knew I had got permission from him, but I wasn't going to sit there and say, "Well, Apostle, you told me." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "It'll never happen again." I ain't gonna spend no time. See, because he got the right to change his mind. And so I can't go off on some kind of frenzy. "Well, man, you know, I got permission, man. Yeah, you help me." "Oh, no. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." See, because we're in school. And we're being developed. And so you can't be developed if you're always a smart mouth. Hallelujah. Just go ahead on receive. The other day, I was in my office, and my son, I chewed him out. And so after I chewed him out, I got ready to leave. Usually he comes in the garage with me, you know, to see me out and, you know, to flag me out, you know, so that I don't get, you know, run into no cars and stuff out there. So after I finished chewing him out, he stayed in the office. He didn't follow me out. So I waited till he got home. I said, come on in the room. I got to talk to you. Right in front of your mama. I want to get you in front of your mama. And so I told him, I said, "Look, son," I said, "you got to learn how to take a whooping, boy, and continue to do things the way you were doing it before you got to whooping." See, because if you change your course or way you're doing things, that's saying that, "Hey, I really didn't like how you handled me." See, because all of it is for your training. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's times, see, this, that's why this unique generation that God is raising up, God is raising up some folk who God is speaking to them. And God is showing them that, hey, this is how you follow. Right. This is how you submit. This is how you honor.
Yes, sir. Yes. That's right. Yes, sir.
And it's going to get you further than, you know, getting your feelings hurt all the time.
Right. Right.
Come on. Come on. That's right. Oh, man. Ain't had to say it like that. Well, do you remember? You told God, "Shape me, mold me, make me to whatever it is you want me to be." And then God take your pastor as an instrument to chip all the bad spots out. You just ask God to do it. You can't tell him who to use to do it. God may be using your boss to chip away at some things in your life. And you talking about the devil? No, it's God using your balls. Hallelujah. So these men and women of the Spirit will cause the minds of men to marvel by their future manifestation as they display the wisdom and maturity. They're growing up. They're not babies. They're not whining. They're not talking about who didn't speak to them. They're not talking about who treated them wrong. They just know how to, that this apostle said this, man, and this really helped me. Sometime God will really use your enemies. All right, okay, aye. Praise the Lord. Many times when people really, anybody got people that don't like you for one reason or another? I'm going to tell y'all something. It's because a lot of times they see the gift in you that you don't see. Yeah, they see something that you're not recognizing. Why would somebody even want to waste their time with you? Being jealous of you or being upset with you or not liking you. Why would they want to do that? The only reason that they're doing it because they're trying to discourage that gift that's in you. So it's an indication. It is an indication that there's something that's on me. That's not on other folk. Oh, y'all. See, you spend too many nights crying about things, worrying about folk. No, you shouldn't even be worried about it. Praise the Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay. What is that they see? Because if they think they don't like it now, I'm about to manifest more of it. All right. Maybe y'all not this generation that God is talking about. All right. They freed from the past. Psalms 2, 19 and 20 says, "For he looked down from his holy height. From heaven, the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to death." So now, there will be supernatural grace on this generation to know God's power to be free from all their deeds. Now, Apostle said it tonight. To capsulize it, what Apostle was saying. See, grace really is an empowerment. Yes, right. It's really God putting his ability on you. Yes, see, you can't please God on your own. So God give you the grace to be able to please him. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? So some people they preach grace like, you know, grace is the license of sin. But grace is really what empowers you to be able to walk the word out. Yes, sir. So God give you grace so that you can be able to walk the word out, not in your ability, but in his ability. Yes. Hallelujah. So the supernatural, the manifestation of God, this grace that's on this generation, they're going to be set free in all their power. So watch this. Because I understand the grace of God is on my life, then the past failure that I have experienced, guess what? They no longer have a hold on me.
Yes, sir.
No longer do they have a hold on me. No longer am I going to be reliving my past every time I look around. Somebody say, "Well, I remember you. No, that man that you remember is dead.
Come on, yeah.
I'm free from my past.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. All of my smoking reefer days.
Come on.
All of my drinking Mad Dog days.
Come on.
I used to drink Mad Dog and howl at the moon. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, amen, God delivered me from it.
Yes.
So now, as I walk out what God has ordained for my life, I'm not looking back and talking about, you know, all this thing that held me back and all this kind of thing. Paul said, "I forget those things that are behind me." He said, "Because I got to get in the press. I got to get in the press. Hallelujah. I always like, you know, when I hear the word press, I think about ironing. You know that, you know, in order to get the wrinkles out, the iron got to be hot. The Bible said God coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. You understand what I'm saying? So how many of you know, whenever there you pressing, you have, that's some resistance. You're going to have to, Satan's going to always be trying to stop you from, but you got to keep on going. Because he wants you to keep looking back at your failures. But guess what? Those were only stepping stones to get to me to where I am now.
Yes,
I can't cap out where I was.
Yes.
Because it's a new day in my life.
Yes.
So how many of you know God is delivering. We are free from the past.
Yes.
I'm free. I'm free. I don't know about you. I'm free. So the sentence of death and the appointment with death will be canceled on this generation. Satan thought he had you. See, watch this next scripture. Satan thought he had you, but because of Jesus Christ and what he did, here in Romans 12:8-2. Watch this. "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done what? Has set me free from what? The law of sin and death." So that's two laws. The apostle's talking about here. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death, right? Okay. Now, before we got born again, we were operating in the spirit of the law of sin and death. Because sin brings on death.
Right.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
The wages of sin, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All right, so now watch this. Once I got born again, then I began to walk in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so what it does is cancels out the law of sin and death. All right, this is a good way to understand it. All right, watch this. There is the law of gravity.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
sir. All right, so you can get up on a 66th floor and step off the edge, and you're not going to float. You coming down because gravity is going to bring you down, right?
Yes,
all right. So it's a law. So anytime, anything that's up and it's got to come down, right?
Yes,
okay. Watch this. So it's like this. So that's the law of gravity. So that's the law of sin and death, right?
Yes,
okay. Watch this. Now, how in the world can, what law is there to supersede the law of gravity? It's the law of lift.
Yes, sir.
The law of lift supersedes the law of gravity. So now, once I'm born again, I walk in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
That sets me free from the law of sin and death. So when an airplane is on the runway and there's enough thrust coming through that engine as it goes on the runway, it breaks through the law of gravity. You with me?
Yes.
So this is what happened when you got born again. You broke through the law of sin and death.
Yes.
And while Satan had a sentence of death on you, you broke through it.
Yes.
Now you're alive in Christ.
Yes.
Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Okay, now watch this. Now, just because the airplane or the jet went, the law of lift took it over the law of gravity, it does not cancel out the law of gravity. The law of gravity is still there. It's still, you understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, it has risen above that. Okay, so watch this. All right. So once you get born again, this is what happens to you. But now, just like in the aircraft, they could be soaring at 39,000 feet in the air, right? And then they cut the engine off.
All right.
Guess what? Guess what's going to happen? See, the law of gravity is still in existence. So the law of gravity is going to bring it down. You with me? So as a child of God, you can't turn the engine off. You understand what I'm saying? You got to understand that you're operating in this law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and you can't turn the engine off. So you got to know that your past already been forgiven, and the thing that Satan is the plots that Satan has been trying to set for you, sickness and disease and that kind of thing and stuff. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus will cause you to break right on through that, because he want to kill you. He want to take you out, but when you understand who you are, he can't do it.
Hallelujah.
So God will cancel our appointment with death and give us a new lease on life. We can live life more abundantly now. Pastor just said it. Now. We're too busy living in the past and we're looking to the future and stuff instead of living in the now, in the right now.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You can't even enjoy your life because you're wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Are you worrying about what happened yesterday? And God has given you a now, given you a time where you're supposed to be walking now and enjoying his presence, enjoying, amen, all that he has ordained for your life. And you are around worried. He said, what's your problem? Say, come on back. You need to be you need to be operating in the now.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. So the decree of the devil do not work upon us. They've been nullified and brought to nothing. Oh, praise God. All right. Now, number five. There are a people movement. The Holy Spirit is currently connecting the together the lives of these men who have the same DNA all across the earth. These men are like brothers of the same family and tribe who are strengthening each other so that our rising is enhanced. See, that's a whole new generation that God is raising up. Like I said before, see, most preachers that I know, they get some kind of big kick out of being invited to preach here, being invited to preach there, invited to preach all these different places. But the thing about it is, see, I can't take no engagement because I'm too busy trying to follow apostle.
That's right.
What I'm going to do when the apostle called me and say, Philip, I need you to be here. So I got an engagement. Could you see Peter? Jesus said, Peter, look, I need you over here in the desert. Peter said, well, I'm going on vacation. I got something else I got to do. No, no, no. The Bible said that Jesus called the 12 so that they could be with him. So whenever apostle got going on, just like I had, Wednesday night, tomorrow would be my Bible training in the Word. And apostle, when he called and said that, he's got this guy who's going to be talking about nutrition and stuff and eating right and stuff. And so I don't sit around and say, well, you know, I got my Bible study Wednesday night. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'll just get me a DVD. And so the Lord had gave me a word. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I got to leave Thursday to go with the apostle. We're going to Newport News, Virginia. I said, how in the world am I going to get this out? I got Sunday, but Lord, what is? So the Lord told me, say, call a special meeting tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, God always got a way to do it when you understand how God has set this thing up. But but we got brothers all around who switch their schedules around.
Yes.
Let me tell y'all something. There's been times when we've had a meeting to go to, apostle got a meeting to go to. And we all set to go and got everything booked. And then apostles say that we're not going. And so we call airline and try. And they said that, no, you can't get a refund. So what you going to do? You going to sit around and cry? Say, man, I lost money. You know, blah, 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 blah. No, God always provides.
That's right. Yes, sir.
When I made the arrangement, God already knew apostle was going to cancel. And so God always going to make sure that you got enough to just keep on going and doing what you're doing.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So we could see it's this new generation, man. We're not looking for no excuses.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Man of God, what you need to do? What's up? So now Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountain of Zion. Oh, Jesus. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forever. Hallelujah. So it's something how when we, that's another thing. See, we have to have unity. We can't have no competition.
That's right.
We can't have no jealousy among us. And see this new generation, man. Look, we encouraging the next person.
That's right.
You with me? See, watch this. When people really, used to call me crazy, and man. You know, what kind of stuff is this you doing? Man, you're a flunky. You know, you kissing butt. They're saying all kind of stuff. And guess what I was doing? Ignoring them.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was ignoring them. You know why? Because I knew that the Spirit of God was raising me up. God had me, God trained me in serving three men in order to teach me how to follow apostle properly. Three pastors. Now, I wasn't no church hopper. I wasn't a church hopper, nope. The first pastor that I had, God spoke to me and told me, you know, that it was time for me to leave. And I don't believe in this seasonal stuff. I don't believe in that. I'm just here for a season. No, but the Lord spoke to me. So I said, man, how in the world am I going to tell my pastor this? So I said, Pastor, I said, Pastor, when you get a chance, me and Pastor, we were real close. And so I said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. He said, I already know. I said, know what? He said, the Lord said it's time for you to move on. How would you know that? He said, because if you're in this house, God is not going, that's just like your wife. God is not going to call your wife to preach without talking to you first. God is a God of order. God set you as the man in the house, and then he'll call your wife, and then don't tell you nothing. Then she tell you, oh, I've been called by the Lord, and then you all upset. Say, well, the Lord didn't check with me. The Lord is, see, the Lord don't break order. That's the way he set it up. So God is not going to call you to go somewhere else, and he don't talk to that person who you under. So I said, wow, man. I said, what? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. So here it is. I leave, and then I get to this church, and I stay there for 3 years. And so I poured concrete for this pastor, and he had me to come preach for him one time and stuff. I went and went to preach for him. And so he came on a communion night, came over to my church, and he said, he asked my pastor, he said, how many preachers you got? He said, got five. He said, good, because I'm taking this one right here with me. He said, the Lord said for me to take this one. And I'm behind him like this. You know what I'm saying? And he called me up that night. He said, you know what? He said, I got a witness in my spirit. Say, God, say God is calling you to go and help him. And so, all right, I get there and I start serving him. And from 92 to 96, and then he makes an announcement one Sunday. He said, I'm retiring at the end of the year, and this going to be the man who's going to take over. Whoa. I'm looking around trying to see who taking over. He said, we don't, in a Baptist church, no voting.
Come on.
Man, I said, Lord. So I told him, I said, look, I said, I'll accept it on one condition. If everybody agrees, I said, one person don't agree. I'm trying to get out of it. I said, one person. I'm in a Baptist church. I know somebody going to say something. So I said, one person disagrees. I'm not going to accept it. He said, OK, all right. So he said, now, we're not having a vote. He said, God told me what to do. This is a man. He said, now, if I got anybody that's against it, you could stand. And I said, I know somebody going to stand up, man. Nobody's standing. I say, this is something. So in this, each one of those men trained me. This, a pastor who turned it over to me, boy, he was rough. He come out, you know. One day I had came sit in his office, and so I sat down and stuff. He said, who cut your hair? I said, I did. He said, look a mess, don't ever do it again. I said, whoa, Lord. And so I go over and visit him on a Saturday or something, and I sat there while me and him talking. All of a sudden he say this here. He said, do you have a house? He said, your wife is probably waiting on you. Say, you need to go home. I mean, just flat. And so I just get on up. See, God was training me. See, because apostle cut your head, boy. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you've been thought you'd have got away. You know, say, he missed me. Shake your head. When you shake your head, it fall off. You know he got you. Praise the Lord. So, but the thing about it is, see, all of his training to get you where God's trying to get you to. But you can't be sitting around and stuff with your feelings all on your shoulders. Right. So God was training me through each one of them. Now, see, if I had not learned the lesson through it, you know, I'd have been crying and everything else, you know. But that is all of that. I mean, I served every man of God I was under. I served them. I sure did. I served them. And people thought I was kind of awkward. I was kind of, I mean, folk called my dad and say, oh, they're making a fool out your son over at that church over there. So you need to call him. So I went, my dad said, son, you need to come talk to him. I went and talked to him. He said, son, they say that this is going on. They said this is going on. I said, dad, you know what I'm doing? I'm respecting the man of God the way you taught me. Get what my daddy said. My dad said, son, forget about I called you and told you this foolishness. He said, go ahead and do what you're doing. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And this is the part. I got a couple more minutes. But this is the part right here. I came from the street. So I was rebellious. God taught me how to submit. God taught me proper honor. God taught me that. Holy Ghost taught me that. I came to the school of ministry, and they were teaching submission to authority. I sat in the class and cried because the Holy Ghost was already teaching me this stuff that I'm learning now. Yeah. I had never learned it out of a book, but the Holy Ghost was teaching me because that background that I had, God couldn't use that. Because see, in the street, if you did me something, I'm going to get you. It may take me 5 years, but I'm going to get you. God said, no, I can't use that. I can't use. So God said, I got to get all this mess out of you. I got to break you. I got to, you understand what I'm saying? I got to, yeah. And so God just, you know, God just did like he want to do. And I just submitted to it. So people thought I was just weird. What kind of person he is? My pastor bought a house and everybody bought their gift. They come in with little old presents like this. So everybody's opening their gift and everything. And say, this is from such and such. This is from such. So by the time they got to the last gift, pastor said, I know y'all wondering what Brother Philip and Sister Philip brought. It's the living room set that you're sitting on. Man, the folk, we had some kind of rally. I was in the Baptist church. You know, they have all kind of days. And so one of the sisters got up and say, they got people around here trying to buy their way to heaven. Buying the pastor all kind of stuff, trying to get to heaven. I said, they don't even know what's going on. Amen. God started promoting me right on past them folk. Right. And guess what? Them people are still doing the same thing. And I'm out of time. Wow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. We're going to chapter 3. Yes, yeah.